Hey, everybody, welcome to church. Happy Sunday. Can we make some noise for Time Change Weekend? I know it died off as soon as I said that, but I'm so glad you've joined us this weekend for church and at all of our locations. We're glad that you're in the room. Hokesson, Middletown, much love to you and to all of you joining us online, church online as well. We're glad you're along for the ride today, and especially if you're at any of our locations or online right now and you're here for the first time, a big welcome to you. We are in week two of a series that we've called Game Changers, and this series is going to lead us into a very special and important weekend for us, of course, and that is Easter weekend. It's a little bit earlier than usual this year, but we're ramping up. We've been praying and preparing, and we have 13 gatherings to choose from across our locations, so make sure you make plans to bring somebody with you for that weekend. And then I want to give you a little sneak peek that the weekend after Easter, we're starting a kind of a unique new series that I'm very excited about. Our team's been working on this actually for several months, and it is a series about anxiety. It's called Breathe and Interrupting and Rising Above the Anxiety that so many of us struggle with. I believe this is going to be a transformational series in the month of April. So I want you just to be kind of thinking about that, preparing for that as well. And then in the meantime, I talked a little bit about this last weekend, but our Easter offering is coming up as well. In fact, that offering is open now on all of our giving platforms. And if you're new to the journey, this is our opportunity as we lead into a weekend where we celebrate what Jesus has done for us to be generous toward others, especially those outside our walls. And we're going to give this year to feed people who are hungry in our region and plant churches, help pastors, develop leaders, and then continue preparing to reach what we call Journey City, which is a 30-mile radius around our broadcast location in Newark. 1.8 million people live in that circle. And this Easter offering is not to pay our bills or our week-to-week expenses. Your generosity does that all year long. But this is an above and beyond opportunity for us to make a difference in our region. So if you're part of this community of faith or just love what God is doing here, want to be a part of it, I would encourage you, pray, listen to God, and then do whatever he leads you to do between now and that weekend before Easter, and let's give together. So as we get into then week two of the series and everything that's kind of happening during this season, we're talking about game-changing things that Jesus said that if we'll let them sink in, can actually help us shift from being casual fans of Jesus to committed followers of Jesus, wherever we're starting from. And here's what I know. Some of us today may be kind of kicking the tires of our faith. We're skeptical a little bit, perhaps, about God or church. Maybe we've even had some bad experiences in the past, and we're not sure we buy it all yet, and that's okay. Others of us, if we were honest, kind of half in, half out spiritually. Like we kind of know how God has called us and invited us to live, but we're maybe not living that way, and we see that disconnect, and we're sensing during this series that God wants to draw us into more. He has more for us. He doesn't just want more from us. He has more for us. And then some of us, maybe we're all in, like we're following Jesus, but we're just aware of how much growing we have left to do. Anybody relate to that? Just see the gap between where we are and where we could be, and wherever we're coming from, and wherever you are, this series is an opportunity really to take the next step. It's a catalyst for our spiritual growth. And wherever you are, you've probably had this experience where you've gotten caught up in stuff that doesn't matter and missed the point. Have you ever had that experience where you got maybe fixated on something minor and overlooked something major? Got a little obsessed with something that it just seemed like it was so urgent, and then later when you zoomed out, you realize wasn't as important as you thought it was. I've had this experience. In fact, just last weekend, we had a lot of stuff going on in our family and a lot we needed to take care of in a short period of time. And I got a little obsessed about one thing in particular that I just thought, this is what we need to focus on. And my wife kind of called me out on it. She was like, really? That's what you're going to focus? Everything going on and that's what you're thinking about right now? And I tried to justify myself. I had a long list of reasons why my thing was the most important thing. And you're probably wondering, well, what was it that you were obsessed with? And a week later, I can't remember, which just proves the point, right? That it wasn't the point. And I had gotten a little bit off track and fixated on something that really didn't matter. And I think a lot of us struggle with this. In fact, a lot of us go through life during different times in our path in life, and we start checking the boxes, we start worrying about little things, we start obsessing over some more minor realities, and we lose sight of the point. We lose sight of the point of our relationships. We lose sight of the point of being a human being. We lose sight of the point of our hopes and our choices and our futures, our decisions. And yet some part of us knows something's off. Something's not quite right. We were meant to live a different way. And we're a lot in those moments, I think, like a guy that Jesus encountered. Here's what we read about it in the New Testament, the book of Luke. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, most of us probably can't relate to being an expert in religious law, but this guy's question is not really just a religious question. It's a human question. He's asking something that all of us feel. It's what we really want to know, even if we wouldn't put it in these words. Wherever we land when it comes to faith, we're just looking for a life that makes sense, right? A life that when we wake up in the morning, we know why we're alive, why we're on the planet. And when we go to bed at night, we know that we have lived in the direction of that purpose. We're living a life that makes sense. We have a life that isn't just about flesh and breath and blood and physical realities, but it's an eternal life. It's a lasting life. So this guy asked Jesus, "What do I do to inherit that kind of life?" And Jesus replied, "Well, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" And the man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Now, Jesus is referring to the Bible here when he talks about the law of Moses, specifically the first few books of the Old Testament of the Bible. This guy's an expert in religious law. So Jesus says, "Well, man, you read the Bible, you're familiar with religious things. How do you read it?" Kind of puts the question back on this man who's asking him, "What do I need to do to live a life that makes sense? What's the point of life?" is what this guy is asking. And so the man responds, "Well, the way I read it is it all comes down to two things. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love people as you love yourself." And Jesus responds, "Right. How many of us would love to have Jesus just look at us and go, 'Nailed it. That's a good day,' right?" Jesus is like, "Right. Do this. Do what you just said. We don't need any caveats. We don't need any small print. Do what you just said, and you're going to really live. Not as in you're just going to suck breath in and blow it back out, and your heart will pump blood around in your body, and you'll be like a creature who walks around this planet. No, you'll live. Like, you'll have a rich and satisfying life. You'll have purpose in your life. Not your life will always be easy, but it will always make sense if you will do two things: love God, which we can only do when we know God, which is what Jesus came to do, reveal who God really is. Some of us are trying perhaps to love God, but we don't know Jesus in a real way. And only through knowing Jesus and what he accomplished by dying for our sins and rising again, that's the only way to really know God. And only when we know God can we love God. And then we begin to love other people with the same love that we have for ourselves. By the way, followers of Jesus, we love ourselves a lot, but not in the way you might think. We don't love ourselves because we think we're awesome. We love ourselves, meaning that we have learned to rest in the unexplainable, extraordinary love that God has for us, and we now see our own lives through the lens of his love. And so we begin to love people around us in the same way, with the love that we've received from God that helps us love ourselves. And this is the point of life. Love God, love people. We love God, we fill our own cups, our own lives up with God's goodness, and we rest in his care for us. And we adore him, we honor him, we're crazy about God, we're passionate about God. We love him, and that leads us to love people with energy and joy and patience and forgiveness and a willingness to take the risk. And both are essential. If we try to love people without loving God, some of us get there sometimes. We get so caught up in trying to love people We neglect our relationship with God. And what ends up happening is soon we have nothing left to give people. Because it's only out of loving God that we're able to love people. But if we try to love God without loving people, we end up with a God that we created to serve us rather than the one who created us to love him and serve others. And some of us sometimes try to love God. We're like, oh, I'm all into God. I just don't like all the human beings he created. It doesn't work that way. We're no longer loving God. We're loving a God we created in our own image who serves us. So love God, love people. Do this, and you will really live. Your life will finally make sense. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your income, whatever your status in life, whatever your age, whatever your background, whatever your race, whatever your challenges, whatever your victories, your life will make sense if you love God and love people. And that is all I've got for you. Have a great week. No, I'm just kidding. I have a little bit more. It would be all I have for you if this guy hadn't thought it was a good idea to keep talking. Because the man, just like this man last weekend with my wife, wanted to justify himself. We often do, don't we? He wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, but who's my neighbor? In other words, I mean, have you ever been here, you tried to justify something and then later realized it wasn't really justifiable? I, again, mentioned that I just did this past weekend, and I've done this a lot. I think I mentioned in the message last weekend, I don't know why this is coming up so often, because I am making progress with my driving. And I really am. I'm much better than I used to be. But I so many times over the years have tried to justify my driving behavior to my wife. We'd be driving and I would say, baby, he didn't use his blinker. That's why I had to give him the look. You know the look? The look says, some of you are raised in church, it's the Old Testament look, not the New Testament look. If you're new to church, you gotta read the Old Testament, you'll figure out. The Old Testament look says judgment, you know, like, got to give him the look. I cannot allow this other driver to continue with some kind of misplaced understanding that that was okay. I am responsible to communicate to him what's wrong in his life with a look. Anybody know about the look? Now, I don't give anybody the gesture. Okay? I'm a Christian. But the look, which sometimes communicates the gesture, if you know what I'm saying. Like it's and so many times Susie has looked at me and been like, yeah, I don't buy it. We don't know exactly what actions this man wanted to justify. We don't know what was going on. Maybe he's a college student and he wanted to justify how he had stolen his college's ramen noodles. I don't know. Some of you in college, you know what I'm talking about. That's what I survived on in college. Top ramen. Does nobody know what that is? Okay, good. I just want to make sure. And we don't know if maybe on the way to hear Jesus teach that day, the guy in front of him waited too long at the green light. And he's like, I'm going to church. We don't know. We don't know. We're not told. We don't know if a couple of days before that, he was with a group of his friends and they started tearing someone down who wasn't there for their dumb decisions. And he jumped in and gave his opinion. We don't know what he wanted to justify, but he's looking for a loophole, right? He's like, Jesus, I hear what I said. In fact, he said it, not Jesus. He's like, love God, love other people. Jesus was like, right, stop talking. Like, stop there. But this guy wanted to justify himself, so he's kind of like, Jesus, but I can't just go around loving everybody. Have you met some people out there, Jesus? Give me some criteria. So Jesus replied with a story. He said, a Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. Big deal. This guy is in a desperate situation. And Jesus is now painting a scenario of what it looks like to love our neighbor as ourselves. So when I was a little kid, Late one night, we heard a noise in front of our house. It was in the wintertime. There's a little bit of snow on the ground. And when we looked out the front door, there was a man lying in our front yard. Someone had pulled over, pushed him out of their car, and he was just lying in our front yard. And I was just a little kid, and my parents, you know, we were kind of looking out the window for a little while, and then we called the police, and we waited inside our nice, safe, warm house. You say, well, what happened next? I don't really know, because we missed the moment. And I just, for some reason, remember that. The police came, and I guess everything was taken care of, but we didn't make that 20-foot walk to see if he was okay or needed something. It just kind of stuck with me because it's sort of what's going on here. It's a scary situation. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho at the time was long. It was twisty. It had rock piles on both sides. It was considered very dangerous. It was a great place to get robbed. It had a reputation. And this traveler, who's a Jewish man, has been attacked, stripped, beaten, left half dead on the side of the road. And it's important that Jesus says that he was a Jewish man because Jesus was a Jewish man. And his disciples were all Jewish men. And the guy who asked him the question, what do I do to inherit eternal life, was a Jewish man. And the crowd who were listening in that day, they were all Jewish people. Jesus is saying, hey, this happened to one of us. And luckily, and that actually is the language Jesus uses, luckily, the story isn't over because by chance, a priest came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Now, I can imagine that Jesus' audience probably perks up when they hear him say, a priest came. They're like, oh, thank God, a priest. Like, priest, this is what they're supposed to do, help people. Thank God, we've got a pastor. We've got a professional. We got somebody who this is their job. Surely they will solve the problem. But the priest passes the guy by. Now, to be clear, he doesn't make the situation worse. He doesn't go over and search the guy's pockets, seeing if the bandits left anything behind. He doesn't kick him on his way by. He doesn't make it worse. He just doesn't do anything to help. He sees the situation. He has proximity to it, and he just doesn't do anything. And if you asked him later, don't you get the sense that he would have tried to justify his actions? I could just imagine the conversation. Hey, what happened? Oh, it was a really bad stretch of road. Like, some people have kind of messed with the story a little bit, but what you don't know is it was the worst stretch of road. There was no cell service. I've been meaning to switch carriers. But that night, like, I looked, I had no bars. I had zero bars. So it's just me on this road, bad stretch of road. And, you know, it could have been a trap. Sometimes those things kind of get set up in a way that you can never be too careful. And as I think about that, I think about how many times in much less serious situations, I have passed someone by with so many good reasons. I don't want to justify myself. Missing the point. It's fixated on something else, my own issues, my own problems, my own concerns, my own anxieties. Missing the point. But the story isn't over. Thankfully, a temple assistant walked over. So this guy's not a priest, he's an assistant manager. He walked over and he looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. And it's interesting the way Jesus describes this interaction. This man is not like the priest. He doesn't keep walking, he doesn't cross the other side of the road. He actually is interested. It concerns him that this man is lying on the side of the road. This is a guy who is up to speed on the issues in the world today. He's like, oh, I've heard about this. I've heard, this is a bad road. In fact, he might even take a quick like, hey, this is what's wrong with roads in our areas and post it to let everybody know somebody should do something about this. And he looks, he's informed. He's aware of how serious the need is. He doesn't make it worse. He doesn't even just walk away. He walks over and he's like, oh yes, I am confirming things are bad. Some of us, this is kind of what we think Jesus has called us to do, confirm that the world is bad. And we post about it. Oh, more evidence, world is bad. Super quiet here, but in Hokesson and in Middletown, people are like, that's right, that's good, Pastor, that's solid. Woo-hoo! Just kidding. I don't know that that's true, but a guy can hope. And that's kind of what this guy does. He's like, hey, I'm not just going to walk away. This is a bad situation. He just doesn't actually do anything to help. And if you asked him later, don't you think he would have tried to justify his actions? Oh, man, it had been a really long day. And to be honest, this road has a reputation. The guy kind of had it coming. Like, I wasn't sure by looking at him, you know, was he a Republican? Was he a Democrat? I couldn't tell. Was he a criminal? Like, had he recently been incarcerated himself? And I mean, had he worked hard in life? I didn't know those things, and so I felt like, you know, I didn't know what to do, and yes, somebody should do something about it. It's a little uncomfortable, isn't it? It's exactly how it would have felt as Jesus was telling this story. Thankfully, the story isn't over, because in a surprise twist, a despised Samaritan came along. Now, here's what that means. Remember, Jesus said a Jewish man stripped, beaten, left for dead. Jewish disciples are listening along. Jewish guy who asked the question, what do I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus is Jewish. The crowd's Jewish. Everybody's Jewish. So far, the whole story is about what happens to us. And everybody's thinking, yeah, we should take care of our own. And then Jesus says, in a surprise twist, a Samaritan. Samaritans had a reputation for not being religious. He says, he came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. So going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. And then he put the man in his own Mazda and he took him to an inn where he took care of him. And the next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. All of which was enormously inconvenient. And yet we don't feel like it's inconvenient as Jesus tells this story, right? In fact, we understand, finally, somebody who gets the point. And for us, we don't have all of that kind of those barriers and those stereotypes that Jesus' listeners would have had. So it doesn't mean a lot to us. But for Jesus' listeners, they're like, you mean the least religious person was the most compassionate? And we can understand that this is what a life that's being changed by God actually looks like. When you strip away the fluff and you strip away all the stuff we get fixated on and all the things we obsess over, when our lives are being changed by God, we go toward the needs. We don't run away from them. We don't make excuses. We don't say somebody else will do something about it. We go and we do something about it. This is what a life being changed by God looks like. That when we love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and we love people as we love ourselves, we go and we do. We don't talk and stay and wait and worry and opinionate and philosophize and post and describe and share our 2 cents. We roll up our sleeves and serve people in need. That's what life looks like when we're being changed by God. You say, does that mean everything else is not important? No, it doesn't. It means that everything else is only important if it leads us here. And what we believe is only real if it leads us here to going and doing. And again, Jesus is smiling because he knows what everybody's thinking. A Samaritan? And Jesus says, yeah, it's not the person who looks most religious or talks most religious or acts most religious when everybody's watching who changes the game. It's the person who goes and does. And at great personal cost, by the way, Jesus is very descriptive. He says, this Samaritan pours his own oil and wine into the man's wounds. He bandages them with his own shirt. He disrupts his own travel schedule. He pays with his own money. And yet, don't we get the feeling that as the Samaritan walks away from the Marriott that day, he's richer
than before he saw the man on the road? Don't you just kind of get that feeling? Like Jesus is going, not just the man on the side of the road that benefited from this. Because that Samaritan walks away from the inn that day saying, oh yeah, that's the point of my life. That's why I was on that road. I wonder if some of us are so busy cursing the stretch of road we're on right now that we're missing the people lying half dead on the side of it who need us to wake up, pay attention, and love them and serve them. And the Samaritan realizes in this moment, this is why I live where I live. This is why I own a car. This is why I go to the school I go to. This is why I have the job I have. This is why I got the raise I got. This is why I am good at CPR or at listening to people or at negotiating with innkeepers. This is why God gave me the gifts he gave me. This is the point of my life. Love God and love people, not just when it fits my schedule or my preferences, but when it costs me, when it's inconvenient, when nobody is watching. It's loving people enough at my location to come early and stay late to set up and tear down and make coffee and set up environments where kids can know God and love God and learn to live like he says. It's loving people in my group enough to show up and have conversations and share my time and my energy with them. It's loving people who are hungry enough to give, to feed them so they don't have to go without fresh quality food. And I love what the Samaritan says to the innkeeper. If it gets any more expensive than this, no problem, I'll pay you the next time I'm here because this is the point of my life. This is the point. This is what makes my life make sense. I'm in even if the bills run higher than expected because I get it. When God's changing you, you go. And do. Because that's what Jesus did. He came and did. He came and died so that all of us lying half dead on the side of the road could have life. And when we really get that, our souls come alive with love for God. And our hearts and hands are moved to action with love for people. And we stop judging people the way we used to judge people. And we start loving people with the love of God. And by the way, you do not have to compromise your convictions to love somebody with the love of God. In fact, nothing reveals the strength of a conviction more than your ability to love someone you cannot agree with. That's real love. How God loved all of us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we agreed. And Jesus is not telling this story. This is so important. He's not telling this story so we'll all wallow in guilt and exhaustion and shame about the billions of people on this planet that we can't reach and can't help. No, he is inviting us to notice and respond to the person a few feet away that we can help. He's not asking us to worry about what we haven't done in the past or might not be able to do in the future. He's asking us to wake up to what we can do right now. There's a young man in our church named Austin who works with student athletes at University of Delaware. And he came here in 2021 after being kind of disconnected from his faith for a while. Jesus did a work in his life. He started leaning in and he started serving in what we call Code Red. And he began serving specifically in our monthly food distribution efforts, showing up here every month and helping give out fresh, quality food to people in need, no questions asked and no strings attached. You say, what if somebody gets it who doesn't need it? That's a risk we're willing to take. It's the radical, generous love of God being poured out to people. And then we offer people an opportunity for prayer and give them a kind word. And Austin started serving there. He took the step of baptism, went public with his faith in Jesus, and then he took a step of leadership and he began leading the team that oversees that monthly food distribution at our broadcast location. And Then he started bringing other UD athletes to serve here as well. Got them involved in loving God and loving people, because that is the point of life. That's the point. And Jesus asked, now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? And the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. And then Jesus said, and you already know what Jesus said, yes, now stop talking. Go and do the same. This is a life that makes sense. This is the point of life, that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the game changer. And then you love people as you love yourself, and you become the kind of person who will go and do. Make it deeper, Jesus. Okay, go and do. Yeah, but can you break it, like really break it down? All right, go and do. Go and do. Go and do. This is the game changer. Go into your neighborhood and meet your neighbors and invest in those relationships and invite them to experience God. Go to work and show that very difficult to like person the love of God. Go to school and talk to the person that everyone else avoids. Go to the traffic light with the guy with the cardboard sign and give him lunch. Go to step two of Plugged In today and at your location, start serving on the J team. Take a step of leadership here and do what God has gifted you to do for the benefit of others. Go make money and do things that make a difference with it. Don't just live to make a dollar. Live to make a difference. Go and do. Don't stay and talk. Don't wait and worry. Don't hide and hope. Go and do. You are where you are. You have what you have. You are on the road you're on right now and have the relationships you're in right now for a reason. This is the point of your life. Love God, all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Go and do. So will you? And if you would say week two of the series, man, I need that. I need that reminder from Jesus what a life that's being changed by God actually looks like. You lift your hands, hold it up. All over the room, hold it up high. All of our locations, lift that hand up. Online, you can participate in this. Let me pray it over us. Jesus, we love you and honor you. You are our example. Jesus, we thank you for all the deep revelations of your love for us and the deep truths that we get through your word and through community with each other. God, we're grateful for all of that, but we know it actually doesn't mean anything if we use it just to become experts in religious law. Mobilize us. Help us love you, God, with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. Not be half in, half out with you, but just go all in with you, Jesus. And then help us love people. Let the love of God flow through us to the most unlovable people around us, so that they cannot argue with that supernatural love. Give us the strength to not miss the point. In Jesus' name. And while you let God speak to your heart for a moment more, to all of our locations and online, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus in a real way yet, maybe something has resonated with you of, I want to love God. Like, I want to know God's love for me. How do I do that? And the one who answered the question that day is the answer to your question. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one comes to God except through me. You can't love a God you don't know. And you can't really know God until you meet Jesus. And when you put your faith in Jesus, who died for you and rose again, you begin to get to know God. And you realize his love for you, and your life will finally make sense. All of us are like the man in the story, left on the side of the road, Jesus did not pass us by, and he's not passing you by right now. If you reach out in faith, as he gives you the power to do it, he'll save you today. And I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer to take that step. So I want everyone to join me again. Open your heart up big to God. And if that's you, you want to begin following Jesus, whisper out a prayer of faith, something like this right now. Jesus, today I give my life to you. I turn away from the life that I've been living without you, and I turn in your direction. I believe you died to forgive my sins, and that through you, my life can finally make sense. Save me today. And if that's you, while everyone around you stays focused on God, if you would say, I want to be included in that prayer, I'm taking that step today to follow Jesus, would you lift your hand and just hold it up high boldly if you would say, I'm putting my faith in Jesus. Yeah, all of our locations, Hokesson, Middletown, here in the room, online. You can type the word faith in the comments. Let us know you're taking that step. And then, Journey, would you help me? Come on, let's give Jesus all the praise, and then let's go and do.